This is Solo Travel Talk, the hassle-free travel series. Your solo travel advisor and host is Astrid Clements.
People used to dream of travel, get energized by the spirit of adventure, long to explore distant shores. But these days, your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, is more likely to hear complaints, tales of woe, and an overwhelming sense of dread from some people when talking about taking a trip. Has travel been ruined by hassle? Announcing the new Solo Travel Talk series from Astrid Clements, Hassle-Free Travel. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Welcome back, and let's see if we can't bring some pleasure back to solo travel. Hi, Astrid. It is good to be back, and I think this series is timely and will be well appreciated by our listeners. First, we want to get some things straight. Is travel more of a hassle these days, or is that just a perception?
Oh, unfortunately, I have to answer the question is yes, but I'm going to answer it really as a qualified yes. We all know there's so many more people traveling, and then just the sheer number of travelers are putting a tremendous strain on everything that services a traveler. The transportation infrastructure, I mean, there is so much more flying traffic now everywhere, not just to specific destinations, it's just everywhere. There's just so many more people traveling. But to these travel destinations, you've got cars, you've got vans, you've got tour buses, the crowded metros. It's unbelievable what has happened with the traffic situation. Yeah. So that. Then you've got the packed airplanes and the larger airports. And really, the flying part of travel is the biggie, is the number one hassle of the travelers. I mean, the security lines, nobody really is used to that yet. And we've been through this really since after 9/11. The mediocre food, the food used to be so wonderful. You know, canceled flights, being bumped. Flying has become something really to be endured rather than... It's really sad. So that's part of any trip. And unfortunately, it does stress people out and it's a hassle. But there's some things that you can do. And I'm going to do a whole podcast on hassle-free flying and just give you my tips to kind of soften the hassle. So, tune into that. But then you also have like all these guided tours now. Cruises, the cruise ships have become gigantic. I mean, they used to be, you know, reasonably big and whatever, but now they're like, I mean, huge. It's like skyscrapers going down. I mean, there's just so many people on the ship. And also, like in your tours, there's so much push to go to so many different places, and everybody's in the tour buses, and they have to get up early and put their suitcases out by their hotel room at 5:30. And it's not something that you look forward to every day. Granted, when you're on the tours, you're excited about what you're going to see, and you know you've prepared yourself to have a great experience. But then what really happens many times is it does create hassles. And really, a lot of the itineraries that you're going to be focused on many of these, what I consider big group tours, are just sightseeing. It's mostly sightseeing. So you don't get as much of a real feel for the culture, the people. I mean, you see it in the sights and the sounds, but I'm a big believer in slow travel, and going to too many places on one trip with a lot of people, you're too distracted. You can't absorb it like you could if it was not so crowded with so many people. So this over-tourism really has caused more and more people to question, Catherine, whether travel is worth the hassle. I mean, you know, to spend your money and then feel hassled and, you know, kind of not have a good time is a problem and becoming more of a problem because people are not realizing that they're going to be these hassles and they're not prepared for it. But what has happened is that a new phenomenon called staycations have become more and more popular. And a staycation is to visit your city like you are a traveler. Stay in a hotel in the city that you live over the weekend and go to the spa, do some things that you've never done in your own city, and experience where you live on a deeper level. And that is a direct result of people wanting to enjoy travel, but the hassle is just not worth it. But in my heart of hearts, I really do think that people, you know, they do dream about, you know, going places. They want to travel and see exotic things and experience new adventures and cultures. I do think that the desire is there. But to deal with the myriad of the travel stressors and negate as much as of the hassle on the road as possible, really, they're key strategies that you can employ that should keep you somewhat positive about traveling, and especially traveling solo. Big, important step to all of this is your pre-trip planning. I mean, you really, by a good planning and doing a lot of planning, you can kind of prepare your mind, your body, and your spirit to get ready for the rigors that a trip will put you through. Because really, unless you just have all kinds of money and time and you can just travel for, you know, like the very wealthy used to do, some of them still do, but after their first year in college or between their high school years in college, they take a break year or
gap year.
A gap year. Or when people used to get married, they would go on extended honeymoons, like 6 months, and they just travel all over at their leisure, etc. But now most people have a certain amount of time, a certain amount of money. You know, you have to get yourself in the right frame of mind. So one of the most important things that you should do before and after, and really during the trip, is to develop what I call the traveler's mindset, which, Catherine, that leads us to the next question.
It sure does. Well, and I also want to say, you did give a hint to the fact that we have a plan for a bunch of very practical episodes that are coming up about dealing with hassle, but this is really the mindset question.
So we are just basically popping the bubble to talk about the underside of travel. Yeah. I mean, they're really not taking to it well, and I don't think the travel industry has adjusted to it quite yet for many reasons. So, and I'm at the end of the show, Catherine, I will list all of our different episodes that we're going to go to, so people will understand how I'm going to break down these different aspects of travel hassle.
So that we are going into the very practical, but right, this episode is all about the mental piece and the sort of the philosophy, if you would. So since we're dedicating this episode to the hassle-free mindset, please, Astrid, how do we develop this mindset?
Okay, I'll start to answer really the question by putting forth one of my bottom line philosophies in life. I mean, I pride myself in being someone who has a strong moral code, and that's something that is my guiding light. But with travel and with anything that you're just kind of going out, and I don't want to say in the wild blue yonder because that's not the truth, but you're doing something for the first time and anything could go wrong. And with travel, there are a lot of headwinds that you don't expect, or you get really aggravated, but they're there. Attitude is everything. and that's one of my life philosophies, is when I get garbage thrown at me or whatever. I mean, classic lemonade, making lemonade out of lemons. I just refuse to let anything rain on my parade. You know, I don't care how bad it is. I'm dealing with something right now in my life. I won't go in specifically. That's a real shocker. And it doesn't have anything to do with me personally, but it's painful for me. And to really work through that and to keep a joyful attitude, it really tests your moral fiber, I can tell you. So I don't say this attitude is everything lightly at all, but it is everything when you're dealing with travel hassles. Now, there are things that you can do to prevent these hassles, but number one for the mindset is the attitude. And you really always kind of have to kind of think, like the British say, keep calm and carry on. I mean, when you get something that, you know, is going to affect, like, say you miss your flight, which, you know, then you can't get on another flight for 4 hours. Well, then you miss the cruise ship. And then, you know, your luggage gets lost. And all kinds of things happen. And you're saying, oh, my God, I just blew $12,000. Now, if you have travel insurance, then you've got a lot of help there, depending on, you know, what caused the events, etc. But the quality of your travel experiences are really directly tied to how you react to these challenges. And it's very easy for you to be in a good mood when everything is going good. But when things go awry, that anger and that frustration and, you know, just being upset. I mean, I have come to the point sometimes where I felt like crying, but I refused to let myself cry. So really, your attitude is key, and you have to take responsibility for it. Don't sit there, and if lots of things go wrong, start berating the airline attendant at the front desk or the hotel or whatever. If you can be calm about it and nice about it, 85% of the time, it will work out. It will really work out. Now, sometimes it just goes downhill. So, you know, you need to have a couple of safety nets that will help you somewhat. But when that happens, you just have to know that sometimes things like that happen. And not also to be tried again, but I have found every time that something really happens bad, that it was kind of like a blessing for me, and things worked out. Okay, so the traveler mindset is really a specific way of looking at yourself and the world, rain or shine, and still feeling content. So, you know, be adaptable. When things don't go right, you know, kind of roll with the punches. Just don't, like, fight back. And if you have a problem or a challenge, get people to help you or seek help and confront the challenges. And it's really how you respond to them, okay? Because, you know, how you respond is basically the best thing that you can do to solve it. And I'll give you one example. And this was one of those out of the blue things that happened to me when I was traveling. I was on an around-the-world trip that I had put together when I first launched my blog, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor. And the concept of the trip was to go to 7 cities in 50 days, spend about a week in each city, and visit 7 different cultures and do it on an affordable luxury style. And to do it a lot less than if you would go with a large tour group. My trip was longer, and it was about half the expense. So I wanted to showcase how you could do that. Well, one of my stops was Mumbai. So when I was leaving the United Arab Emirates, and I was so excited, I got to the airport really early because I was going to fly on Emirates Air. Some people pronounce it Emiratis, but I say Emirates. I hope that's right. But I was flying business class to Mumbai, and I thought, oh, this is going to be, you know, I've read so much about it and the suites and everything, and I can't wait to do it. So I get there early, and they take you, because I was flying business class, into the VIP area, and I mean, it is something else, especially in the United Emirates. I mean, you know, I was in Abu Dhabi, and I think that's where I'm not sure if they're headquartered in Dubai or Abu Dhabi, but it was like really fine. So I get up to the desk, and the lady is checking my visa and passport. And she said, "Your visa's incomplete." And I said, "What?" She said that I was missing a number on my visa. And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, I did it online just like they said. And she said, "No." She said, "Let me make some calls." So she tried to make some calls to the Indian embassy or whatever, wherever they could call, and nobody would answer because it was early in the morning. And so after a couple of things, she said, "You know, I hate to tell you this, but you cannot get on the flight." And I said, "What?" I said, "This is ridiculous." You know, because I had paid for it and everything. And she said, "Oh, no, you know, they are strict in India. If you don't have everything, they are not going to let you, you know, deplane. They'll put you back on the plane." So she told me what I needed to do was to go to the Indian embassy in Abu Dhabi. So I thought, well, I'm going to be cool about this. It's just a number. It's no big deal. So I, you know, find a young, he wasn't actually a cab driver. He was kind of like a limo driver. But I talked to him. I said, "Look, I need you to take me here and stay, and I'll pay you a flat fee. You know, I have this luggage. I need it. You know, I want you to make sure that it's all safe and that kind of thing." He said, "No problem." I was very lucky. I got a really nice kid to stay with me, because this is, not only did I go to the embassy and wait 3 hours and get up to the desk, and the person said, "We don't process these things here. You have to go to a special processing office." So then I go, then by now it's about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So he said, "Go here." So I, you know, me and the young guy, we go traipsing off to another place. And so I get there and I have to wait another hour to talk to somebody. So I finally get up to a gentleman, and, you know, I told him, I said, "It's just a number. Just get somebody to give me a number. I've already paid for the visa and everything like that." I said, "I don't know why this didn't translate, but, you know, I probably did something wrong when I was doing it, but I thought I had done it all right, you know, seriously." And he was very distant, and he said, "Well," he said, "I could expedite it, and if I expedite it, it would be about a week before I knew." And I said, a week, I have to be in Bangkok after that. I said, I might as well not even go to Mumbai. I said, you know, and I began to tell, I'm a travel blogger. I wanted to go to India. I mean, I really started. He said, "All I can say is a week is the best I could do." So at that point, I could have just really let it get to me, because, you know, this was my grand tour and everything. It just fell apart. So I got back into the car with my nice driver, and I said, "Just take me to the airport. I'm going back to the airport." And in that cab, I decided, okay, well, what you're going to do is you're going to get to the airport, get on your computer, and Google what cities between Abu Dhabi and Bangkok that do not require a visa for an American citizen. So I did that. Singapore came up. I thought, I've never been to Singapore. I would love to go to Singapore. And I said, I'm going to Singapore. So I began to research the flights. And oddly, it was very reasonable I found Sri Lankan Airlines. So I bought a business class ticket. All I had to do is lose one night at the Taj Hotel, which I really wanted to stay in Mumbai. So it cost me, I think, altogether about $1,600. But I ended up making it up in a reduced fee for the hotel that I stayed in Singapore, which was a brand new Westin. And a couple of other cost-saving things happened. So on my total trip budget, it was like only out of whack, I think about $350 or whatever. And I got to go to Singapore. And Singapore is really a utopian city. It is one of the most fabulous, new, well-planned urban metropolises that really work. It's a multicultural city that is clean, that is safe, that is beautiful, that is interesting. I mean, really. So this disaster, this tassel, this ridiculous thing, this number, you know, I could have let it completely throw me off. At first, I thought, well, I'll go to Bangkok and then spend 2 weeks in Bangkok. But I really didn't want to do that. Yeah. And I had, you know, been in Abu Dhabi for almost a week then. And I thought, I've been to Dubai.
You were ready
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that is important with the mindset. That's what I'm trying to say. You just have to take a deep breath and try to figure out how are you going to solve your problem? And it came to me. I'm a spiritual person, and I said, the good Lord is helping me. You know, my guardian travel angels are working with me because they know that this was an innocent mistake. But it does happen. And, you know, there are a lot of things in travel that just come out of the blue. And those are usually the biggies, okay, because the things I'm going to share with you in the, you know, latter part of the show to help you are things that make common sense that you should do that you didn't think of. But it's these big zingers that come out. So that's when you really have to have the right frame of mind. Plus, part of the traveler's mindset is to be very open-minded and to really kind of try to see things as they really are without prejudice or without judgment, because all cultures have something authentic and something deep and soulful in them. And, you know, just because they're so different from yours, don't let too much of what you're used to make you negative or make you stressed out or whatever. You know, really try to be open, curious, and seek to understand why people do things and why the culture is the way it is. You know, it's kind of hard to understand why the Chinese like to eat bugs. But don't just completely, you know, get sick to your stomach when you see them eating scorpions in a stick. And this is what I'm trying to say. Now, to make the cognitive and the practical leap, once you've kind of gotten the overall mindset, you got to get to the next level of how to not let the hassle get to you. And this is where the real challenge is, okay? So here are my strategies or tips to helping you develop what I guess Catherine and I have coined or thought about with this particular podcast as a hassle-free travel mindset. And I put here, laugh out loud, if that's really possible. But I do know that if you follow these suggestions, that your hassle factor when you travel will definitely go down. And the underlying theme in all of this is you just have to be prepared and know that you're going to have problems when you travel. Now, that is a sad thing to think about, or sad might not be the word, but that's an aggravating thing when you are thinking, oh, I'm going to go on this wonderful trip to the Caribbean or like to Cartagena, and I've heard so much about it and everything. And then, you know, the first thing that happens is they lose your luggage when you get there, or something like that. You know, so you have to be prepared for typical things that can happen, okay? So, and the best way to be prepared, and a lot of people don't do this, and I talk about it a lot in a lot of my podcasts, but research. And I know sometimes you don't have the time to do it, or you think, oh, I'll just go with the flow. But I promise you, you need to research about everything that you can think of about this destination that might cause you a problem. Yeah. Okay? First of all, it just broad issues like cultural do's and don'ts. I mean, you know, there are so many different cultural norms all over the world that just a hand gesture could really cause you some big problems. So you should familiarize yourself with cultural do's and don'ts before you travel to anywhere that you haven't traveled before. Even in Europe, there are subtleties there that if you know them, your trip will be so much more rewarding and less stressful. If you do these little, like I had this one, I talked about, you know, eating in France and do's and don'ts. And I talked about cutting the top of the point of the cheese. Oh my God, please don't do that. That is so, that is such a no-no. And your servers and everybody, I mean, the whole staff of the restaurant will be back there talking about you. They will avoid you. And they'll like hold their nose almost when they interact. But you know, it just, you know, I know I'm kind of making it.
You have permanently put that in my head, by the way.
I know. Look, I didn't even know it. And so I will never do that. Because I could innocently do that, yeah. Especially if, like, I only want a little bit and don't cut off the point. So, okay, cultural do's and don'ts are really important and can turn into some kind of hassle or stressor if you don't know it. Your transportation. Now, as a solo traveler, this is very important that you really do think about this. How are you going to get from point A to point B on the things that you want to do? You know, when you land, and how are you going to get to your hotel? You need to plan all that out. A lot of people say, oh, well, I'll just, you know, catch a taxi in, or, you know, maybe I'll use some livery service or something like that. But you really need to think about it all, because that can be something that it's nothing like feeling lost or feeling afraid because you don't like who's driving you around or whatever. So you need to think about that and how you're going to do it. That leads me to the safety planning. That's another thing. You need to think about what are the things that are going to make you feel unsafe, and what do you want to do about it before? I mean, some people, they're very uncomfortable still sleeping by themselves in a hotel room, especially with the card, key, access, etc. And I talk about, you know, just get one of those little door wedges. I know that sounds kind of weird or like archaic, but they work. Just get a door wedge and think about what else, you know. Are you going to have your phone on with your app alert that if something happens, you know, just think about those things. I know one of the things that I do, and I'm not afraid to sleep in hotels by myself, but I will definitely lock the door and chain it and do all that kind of stuff. But I do have my phone and I have my purse there right by my bed that if anything happens, I know where that passport is and I'm going to slug the purse or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I've been blessed, knock on wood, nothing has ever happened in my 45 years of traveling. So, but you have to think about what would make you feel unsafe and what are the things you're going to do to not put yourself in that position. You know, potential health threats. This is something most people don't think about, that they're going to get sick when they travel. Yeah. Or, you know, they might have an accident, or they could get food poisoning, or whatever. There are lots of things, inoculations, making sure you've got your prescriptions. One time I left mine in a hotel, and there were very few drugstores around. So, you know, you have to kind of think in those ways, how am I going to have all this? And if something happens, you know, I've got a fallback. That's basically it. Appropriate travel wear, not only just for the climate and comfort, but for the culture. I mean, there are a lot of things that, especially for a solo traveler, is very important that you are dressed that doesn't draw any attention to yourself. Your tech-specific needs, I mean, you need to know all the different things, how to stay connected with your phone and the right adapters and all of that, as well as plan even your daily itineraries loosely before you go. You want to think that I'm going to do these three or four things in this area. You don't want to do something in the morning and then, are you going to have lunch on the other side of the city? And then you have to go to completely another direction. I guarantee you, you will just bail out after 1:30 because the traffic will have been so bad and you will be stressed out. You will probably miss the time that you needed to catch whatever guided tour there was. So you need to plan it. And if you don't feel comfortable with how you've got it organized, ask the concierge. I love the concierge. I make friends with concierges. Oh, yeah. As soon as I check in every hotel that I am in. Your money concerns, that's a big thing. There are a lot of things with money, especially for a solo traveler. You want to feel like you've got that particular issue under control. So do your research about that. Will your ATMs work there? What's the conversion rate? How am I going to do the conversion? How much money I should? There's a lot of stuff. Communication problems. I mean, you know, English is pretty universal now, but it's not totally universal. So how are you going to deal with that? As well as what I call travel document management, which basically knowing where your passports are and if anything you lose, like your prescriptions or whatever, you've got a copy somewhere, some kind of backup so you can work through the problem. So it doesn't turn into a disastrous hassle. You can solve the problem. Okay, those are the broad things that you have to research about and kind of have your preconceived, how would I solve this hassle if it comes up, or, you know, help you not to put yourself in a position that you caused a hassle, okay? But the first hard tip deals with, I like to use what now is, you know, really cool, the travel management apps. And these, you know, I'm older and I didn't grow up around technology or anything like that. You know, all the young people use these apps to manage their life and everything they do. But I have learned and I do use a couple of key travel apps, and they are fabulous. And they're not hard to do. If I can do them, they're not hard, okay? The first one is called TripIt, TRIPIT, fabulous, fabulous app. I love this. You know, this puts all of the information about your particular trip right there on your phone in an app. Like when you make your plane reservation online, it goes right into that app. you know, the flight number, the times, the if the gate is on there, it's everything. Same thing with your airline, your hotel reservations. Not only do you have the date, you have the address, you have the phone number. I mean, it is fabulous. And it automatically goes into that. Then if you have dinner reservations on Thursday night here, they have, it goes on the calendar, which day it is, the date, the day itself, the time, the restaurant, the address. I mean, it manages everything. Wow. It is fabulous. So, and your car rentals, everything. I mean, this has really changed the way I travel because, I mean, I always would log in all this information in my travel journal, which I still do in the event I lose my phone. but before, I would do that and I would make a hard copy of everything and hide it in the suitcase, in the zipper. And then when I got to the hotel, I just put it in the safety deposit box. So if somebody stole my purse and I had my passport, all my credit cards, the Visa, debit cards, everything, all the numbers, beautiful, the credit card numbers, passport, photo, everything. So I could go to the embassy, I could call the credit card people, and I'd have another card the next day. They'd shut it down for, you know, fraud and all that. So, but this trip, it is fabulous. I highly recommend that particular one. But I do recommend still making a written copy of everything in the event you lose your phone. Other travel management apps are Google Maps, and most everybody is familiar with that now. But they're fabulous because they just show you how to walk places. Or they show you how long it's going to be drive time. Now, it's not always the case with the drive time because traffic is horrible everywhere, y'all. I mean, it is getting terrible everywhere. Everywhere you travel, even if it's not a popular travel destination. But at least you know the distance itself. So, but the Google Maps is a lifesaver. The next is also Google Translate. I love this one because even with languages where you can't understand the characters, you can take a picture or put it up there and it will translate or get close translation enough to where you can maneuver, okay? And then you can also say something and it'll come back in Japanese or whatever language so somebody can help you. So Google Translate solves the communication problem, okay? Then the WhatsApp. Now, that's another one that I was a little hesitant to use because they said, oh, all the bad guys in the world use this. And I'm going, well, I have FaceTime and, you know, I guess if I really, you know, I can text. But people love this WhatsApp and they communicate. It's free. You know, they can call you on it. They can text you on it. And I'm starting to use it. I mean, because the young people love it and it does work well. So I like that one too. Also, the International Time app that comes with all your Apple phones, but it's great because you can log in your time back home. You can look at it, you know, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning there. I can't call them for another 3 hours. It's right there. You don't have to even subtract it in your head. Then you have your alarm clock and all that. So, you know, use that one. I use that one a lot. Then if you like to take photographs, you know, professional photographers know about this. But there's an app called the Magic Hour. And these are the day or the times during the day when the light is the best for photographs. Ooh. And it happens in the morning and it happens in the evening. And it's different times. It's usually around sunrise and sunset, but it's different times in each location based on the angle of the moon and the sun and the longitude, latitude, and all that. So this app gives you exactly when this particular time period works. So if you love to take good photographs, and it works magic. I tell you, I will take a photograph of a tree during the day and then take the same photograph, the same tree same angles during the magic hour. You won't even believe the difference.
Wow.
Oh yeah. I don't think the human eye, unless you have fabulous eyes, sees that at all. But it comes out in the photographs, I can tell you. And then the last app, and don't laugh, but especially in certain areas of the world, this is a great app to have. It's called Toilet Finder. And let me tell you, it's a lifesaver.
I did not know this app existed.
Well, it's there. These are the travel management apps that I think that are my first broad tip that I think you really will help you manage travel hassle, okay? Now, the second thing is to the broad category is managing your time wisely or, trip time management tips. Now, this one is kind of hard for me because I'm the type of person, I love to talk, I love to go with the flow. I mean, if I'm shopping, oh God, don't tell me that I have to stop within 5 minutes, It just, I'm going to figure it out, But let me tell you, when you travel, you don't need to have that kind of like manana mentality or, time is whatever, relative, because it's not. And it can cost you a lot of money. And it can make the hassle factor be a complete volcanic eruption.
Mm.
It really can. So the first thing is when you're going somewhere and you're flying somewhere, leave. If it typically takes you an hour to get to the airport, leave an hour and a half, an hour, 45 minutes, or even 2 hours early rather than an hour. Make sure you check to see what the traffic is. But it's so much better to leave a lot earlier and do some things in the airport than it is to say, oh, well, I don't want to sit in the airport. I'm going to, it only takes me this. And I used to be like that all the time. I'm telling you, I would cut it down to the last second. And it nipped me in the you-know-what a couple of times. And it's dumb now to do it. Because of all of the people that are traveling and what can happen on the way to the airport and everything. And all that up, that builds that little stress, this stress, that stress. People start little panic, not panic attacks, but feeling like it's coming on. So don't do that. Just leave early. Leave early. And like if you're going internationally, they say that really you need to get to the airport 3 hours before your flight, and domestically 2 hours before your flight. So if it takes you an hour to get to the airport, say leave an hour and a half earlier, or maybe 2 hours earlier, really you're on your way 4 hours before the flight takes off. Because you get there, you have your time at the airport, you can grab something to eat, maybe buy a book or whatever, then go through the security line. It might be quick, but it might be horrible. I mean, I have actually missed a flight because of the security line was so bad, and I got there in plenty of time. But it was a high travel time. There was a terrorist alert, and I mean, they were slow and methodical. Mm. And I got the plane hadn't taken off, but I got to the gate and it already had been locked and they refused to open it. And my luggage was there. I mean, it turned into a whole big, that was horrible. So don't put yourself in that position. Now, if you are flying and you have to make a connection, it's really smart to allow about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in that connection, because there's so many more flights now that are late for weather or some kind of reason. The plane didn't arrive at the airport to board the people in time. The crew got there late because of traffic. I mean, there's so many things now that affect things in terms of time. So you want to give yourself enough time, especially if you bought one of the tickets that are non-refundable. If you miss the flight and all that kind of stuff, then you're just out unless you have travel insurance that will cover it. So, you know, think about when you're doing the ticket, how long do I have at this connection to make this connection? And for international flights, I just say 3 hours. It's just much better to give yourself more time, okay? Then you also, if you're having a connecting flight, try to get your luggage checked all the way. And you can do it internationally if you stay on the same air carrier. But a lot of times, if you're not on the same air carrier, you got to get your bags and then you got to recheck them. I experience this sometimes when I fly out of JFK. I leave from New Orleans on JetBlue. Like if I fly JetBlue to Ireland, or they'll do my bags all the way through. But if it's Air France or whatever, I got to go get my bags and then check them in at Air France and all that. And if you don't have enough time, I mean, it's going to be bad. Hassle, okay? So try to get them to check it all the way through. If they can't, you got to know you have to have enough time, okay? Okay, let's see what else do I have here. Okay, yeah, start your day's itineraries when whatever you're doing opens. Try to miss the crowds, you know, at all cost. But don't get there too early, because I can tell you, I've even done that before, and they don't open until, and like in some places in Europe and other areas of the world, I mean, 11 o'clock is like when they get it going. So if you get there at 9 o'clock, you go to Starbucks or whatever, you're raring to go, you want to be there, beat the crowd, well, you're going to be sitting there until open. So just make sure that you discuss it with the concierge and then know if you can get there by walking, or if you're going to use an underground or some kind of, you know, taxi or whatever. So, you know, figure all that out, but still try to get there when it first opens. And it's not too bad if you can time it to where at the end of the day, but you want to give enough time to where you can see what you want to see before it closes. Okay, so basically missing flights because connections that are too short are definitely costly, and visiting places that are too crowded or, you know, closing on you. And I'll never forget, I went to the foundation of Louis Vuitton, or that new beautiful museum that they've done in Paris, and I thought it was going to be open a lot longer. I mean, I had 35 minutes to see it, and it was sad. I just tore through there like the Tasmanian devil, and then I got to walk around outside, which is a beautiful park-like setting, but still, that was my bad. So time management is important. That's what I'm trying to make, and think about this, and how are you going to manage it, and discuss it with your concierge, and how long he thinks, and you might not really know how long certain things are, and then when it get messed up, you're going to miss things, and then that's going to make you disappointed and all that kind of stuff. Okay, the third broad category are my tech tips. Mm. Bottom line is you got to know your electrical voltage. The plug might look the same, but it's double the voltage, and, you know, you can turn on your curling iron or whatever, and if it doesn't fry and blow up, your hair is going to completely break off. And that's happened more than you think. So know that, okay? Then, of course, you've got to get your adapters. There's great adapters now. And I have a marketplace on my website. Just go to astrotravel.com and then hit the marketplace. But I have some really cool adapters on there that has gobs ahead. So if you have one or two of those, you're rocking and rolling. There's another thing that is in my marketplace that's really good. It's a strip where you can put a lot of different plugins, and it goes into the right, you know, if you've got all American plugs, you can plug into this, but that big head that goes into the wall. Yeah, this thing is great.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Oh, no, this is really good. So first of all, just the basic electrical types of issues. So you need to, you know that you've got the right stuff. And if you don't, you just have to go buy it. And I bought it a lot. Or I'll ask the front desk, has anybody left?
Do you shop the lost and found, Astrid?
Sometimes. I'm a pro at this, but I'm not perfect. But I've got that traveler's mindset, and I just, you know, I'm just a happy traveler. And if I have a problem, I always just say, look, could you help me? I mean, I usually, I'm pretty lucky in I solve my problems. Then also you need to carry power banks. You know, you don't want your cell phone to run out of juice. And I can tell you, when you travel, it just seems like in so many countries, my phone goes down so much quicker than it does where I live. So be prepared to have 2 fully charged power banks with you at all times, because you don't want your phone to go out, because that is your connection to civilization, to safety issues, to if you lose the phone, you lose TripIt. You can't text. It's terrible. So don't let that happen to you. You can't take any photos. That's a real bummer for me, and it's happened to me before. I usually bring 4 of them, and I always have 2 every day with me, but I'm always charging them all to make sure that I've got, you know, 2. Because even those power banks, they run out faster. Yeah. It's amazing. I don't know why it's different. Okay, the next thing, and most travelers know about this who travel internationally, but go to your phone carrier, your cell phone carrier, and get an international plan. I love these things. They're $10 a day. Some people might not want to spend that, but it gives you the comfort of unlimited text and data and all of that. And there's nothing worse than if you forgot to cut off data roaming, or you didn't keep your phone on airplane mode until you got to free Wi-Fi, and you come home and your phone bill has got an extra $400. Oh. And then you got to call them up and say, look, you really have to throw yourself. And sometimes they'll adjust it and sometimes they won't. I mean, this is great, okay? Some people still buy local SIM cards. I never did that because I didn't like opening up my phone and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't trust those stupid SIM cards. So I do the unlimited text and data, the international plan. And then also you got to know, even if your phone will connect to Wi-Fi, like in Japan, oh my gosh, you have to buy your own Wi-Fi router and carry it with you everywhere. You can't even get hooked up to Wi-Fi. So an international plan is of no use unless you can get connected. You got to be prepared for all of that. And, you know, I know people who haven't been prepared, and it costs you money and it aggravates you, okay? And it's like you being at home. When your tech goes down, I mean, the first thing is like, ooh, you get that jolt of, ugh. You know what I'm saying? So just don't let that happen to you. And it's pretty easy to do. And the more you travel, the more it becomes a habit, okay? You're prepared. Okay, the next broad category is basically money issues. And some of these, you pretty well kind of know if you've traveled, and some of them can shock you when they come up. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is if they bring cash, like say they bring $100 bills or even 20s, and those bills are old or dirty or marked, you cannot get them exchanged, especially in some countries like Russia. I'll never forget, I think I brought $1,000 for a week trip as an emergency fund when I went to Russia the second time. And I went to the bank right around the corner to change it. And the woman would only change $280 of all of that. She said, because all these other bills were too old, damaged, or whatever. So I've written a whole blog post, and it's a pretty popular post about don't leave home with old money. What you need to do is go to your bank about a month before you leave and tell them how much you want, and you want it in new bills, new crisp bills, and they'll get it for you. So you bring those, and you can get them changed anywhere. Well, I think you can. I don't think you'd have a problem with that. But that's how you don't get yourself in a pickle. You think you've got your emergency fund covered, or the money you want to spend on just cash per se, and you can't, okay? That leads me to talk about debit and the credit card ATM machines. Like in Russia, all around, they don't jihad with, you know, a lot of banks and systems that we use in America. Now, they're key ones in key hotels or key places, but it's not like everywhere. Most of their ATMs are on a whole different kind of system. And this happens in other places too. So you have to know about that compatibility to know how much cash, real cash, you need to bring. Because don't think you're just going to go and, oh, I'm going to use my debit card and credit cards. Oh, it really can get you in a bind. And if you're a solo traveler, oh my gosh, it changes the dynamics of your trip. You want to research that and be prepared. Then, of course, you have to figure out how much emergency money you want to bring. The ATMs typically are much more, or you get more for your money, your exchange rate is better than the airport kiosk. So what I do when I land anywhere, you know, like if it's in Helsinki or wherever, I'll ask, where's ATM machines? And I'm trying to find an ATM machine to get, say, $250, $300 in my wallet on the way to the hotel. So I have some money that's their money in the event that I would need it for some reason. Plus, I already have some money when I get to the hotel. But if you can't find an ATM machine at the airport, just go to the kiosk, suck it up, and get you some cash. Don't have your wallet with no
hard currency
from that country. Yeah. Just don't do it, okay? Then, you know, you need to try to figure out how much cash you want to carry around every day, depending on what you're doing, you know. And not too much and not too little, okay? Another thing is keep all of your receipts. I know lots of people don't like to do that unless they're, you know, travelers that have done a lot of business traveling. But I keep every receipt, and what I do is I go to the concierge or the front desk, and I ask them for an envelope, and I just put all my receipts in there. Because when you get home and you check your credit card bill, and you see the $600 charge or whatever, charged twice, because, you know, a lot of times it's, oh, your card isn't swiping, your card isn't swiping, and they're swiping it like five times. You go, ah! But if you have the one receipt that they give you, and you know, all the credit card companies know that this happens, or, you know, there could be a malfunction with technology, and then it kicks in, and it goes through three times. If you have the receipt, and you have some proof, then it's very easy. Otherwise, they have to do lots of research and all that. And you usually come out of it, but keep those receipts, okay? Then alert your bank before you're leaving. You know, if you're going to use your debit card and the credit card companies, tell them where you're going to be, etc. So, you know, they don't stop because of fraud charge, and they'll do that. And I've even had them do it in Russia when I called them. Because they're tough.
Sensitive, yeah.
Yeah, they're tough. And one app I forgot to talk about in the travel management is the currency conversion app. Ooh. But, you know, those are real good because some of the countries have these weird conversion rates, and you think you can do them in your head or your calculator, but it's better to do it because, boy, when you miss a zero or you put in, you got to get a bill. And it wasn't $10, it was $100 or 10,000 versus something. You don't want anything like that to happen because you will be like on the floor screaming, man. Oh. So those currency conversion apps are great. Then the last thing is really carry backup credit cards. I usually carry two, the American Express. I like the Platinum because I get all these different, perks. And the Chase Sapphire is real good too, the Visa. So I carry a Visa and an American Express. I like to use my American Express the most because I pay it off. So I don't have this big balance or anything like that. And I can do it in the others, but I just am an American Express person because I've had it for so long. But a lot of vendors don't take American Express all over the world. So the Visa is very good too. So those are my basic money tips. But I can tell you, as a solo traveler, when you have money stresses, that starts to really affect everything. So that's very important as we're talking about the hassle-free mindset and to maintaining that. Okay, transportation and logistics. I've talked a little bit about it, but I personally hate taxis. I hate them. I shouldn't say that. I don't hate anything, but I do not like to get into taxis because that is the only time I've really ever felt a little bit like, oh my God, what happens if something happens? I try to avoid taxis at all times. So I try to walk, I use the tube. And if I have to use a taxi, I like to get the hotel to get it for me. I use them, though. I can't say that I don't use them, but I try to minimize how much I'm going to use them. So you need to work out how you're going to get around. And like with your airport, you need to know how you're going to get to the airport, especially if you have a very long flight and you're tired. There's nothing better than a livery service there to pick you up or if the hotel has it. Now, I love Black Lane. I use them. They're, more expensive than Uber, but they're nice and they're not super expensive. They meet you right there as you're coming out of immigration. They take your bags. They usually have water and, some little chocolate or something like that. And I like that service very much. So I spend money on that. If I can't get a shuttle into it, or I know how to catch the subway or the light rail or whatever, I like Black Lane because I want to know that I'm going to get to my hotel and I'm not going to have that bad feeling. And especially if you arrive at night, just don't jump in any cab. And not that I think there is something would happen. But it gives me the heebie-jeebies, so I just don't do it. So that is my suggestion. Now, when you're going back, you can get the hotel to get you the cab to the airport for, when you're catching your flight out. If you're going somewhere at night, get the hotel to get you a cab to take you there and get a specific driver to pick you up after you've gone to the theater or whatever you've done at night. So you don't just get into anything. Just talking about it gives me, those are when you see the shows on the movies and what happened to people and stuff like that. That's what I always think about. Then the hotel location, it goes without saying, you want to stay in a hotel that's in a safe location. And most 5-star hotels and, 4-star hotels, for the most part, all over the world are in safe locations because they wouldn't spend that much money in a hotel that was in a poor location. Now, a location can deteriorate, but you want to kind of try to figure that, discern that before you book. And of course, you'd like to book a hotel that's close to most of the things you're doing, so you can walk and that kind of thing. So, central location, safe location for your hotel, okay? Because that's really your home away from home. And you don't want to stay in some place that's kind of remote just because you want to save $35 a night on a room. It's not worth it. If you have to walk 10 blocks to catch the subway, you're putting yourself in a bad position. Just spend a little bit more money and don't eat as much or whatever. Pull back on something for your budget. Another little thing is too, with the hotel, when you check in, ask to get the hotel's calling card or their business card and put that in your wallet and have it with you all the time. So if for some reason you do need to catch a cab or whatever, and you can't tell the cab driver where it is or the language, there's no way to communicate. All you have to do is show them the little card, and they'll take you there. I mean, I've done that many times. Okay, next broad category, pretty self-explanatory, is the language hassle. If you speak English, you're in pretty good shape because English is pretty widely spoken all over. But it's still, there's some issues. Like in Japan, oh my God, you know, you would think that a lot of people spoke English because they're, you know, a very prosperous, developed country. They're a wealthy country. Oh, no. I mean, and then they use the caricatures. I forgot what you call those.
Kanji?
Yeah, the kanji. And I mean, you're just completely, and you can't, they look at you, they smile, they kind of, and you know, so you need to get that language app and be familiar with how to use it so you can maneuver easier. And then also have these handheld gadgets. Now, a lot of people like them. They talk into them, and it comes back in the language, and then the other person will talk into it, and then it comes back in English. I mean, Google Translate can do that too, but have a way that you can figure out some of the words that you can't figure out that just seems logical. So get one of those apps and then learn a couple of just the basic yes, no, please, thank you, hello, that kind of thing. Because even though they know you don't know anything and can't speak their language, it's an icebreaker. If you say bonjour, rather than just coming into a store, and this is like one of the cultural do's and don'ts. If you go into a store in France and you don't say bonjour, madame, or bonjour, monsieur, or au revoir, or whatever, I mean, they turn from wanting to help you to like, there's nobody in the store. I mean, so it's these subtleties. So a few little things will kind of grease the engine. Okay, health tips. Like I said, this is an area a lot of people don't think about. They just don't think about it, especially if they're healthy. First of all, you know, before you're going anywhere that's really exotic or anywhere, you should go on the World Health Organization or go to, for American State, U.S. State Department .travel and hit the health concerns or health information about any destination you're going to. So you know if you have to get some inoculations or if there's any prevalent health issues there, you know, whether it's West Nile virus or, you know, whatever, and they'll say, well, we recommend that people over 65 don't travel here or whatever. You know, you need to basically read that stuff. Okay, and if you have to get the inoculations, you really should do it about 6 months before any trip you take, because if you wait till the last month, it might not fully be doing its thing in your body. So that's important. And I say here, the earlier the better. Then check with your healthcare provider to see if you're covered when you're traveling. You're not covered. If you're on Medicare, you're not covered. So you have to know what you need to do to get covered, because you do not want to travel and not be covered for a health event or, you know, for a medical issue. Next is, I think it's always pretty a good idea if you're going for a trip out of the country, especially if it's extended for any amount of time, go visit your doctor before. Just make sure that, you know, everything is A-okay. And that goes with the dentist too. There are a lot of people, well, not a lot, but there are people who travel and they kind of have like their tooth has been bothering them, or maybe they had a little crack and they didn't get it fixed. And then the thing cracks all the way when they're on the road, or their tooth is getting towards abscess. And I mean, and they have to go to the dentist. A tooth problem, you cannot travel when your mouth, you know, so think about that. Are your teeth in good condition before you travel? I'm serious. And then also, if you do take prescriptions, make sure you have a copy of those prescriptions in your medicine bottle and then take a little photo of them with your phone, and that'll be good enough. But you need to have a copy of those prescriptions in the event, like I did, is I left it at the hotel. Okay, and then stay hydrated. A lot of people don't think about this. And when you're traveling and you're walking and everything, and after about the fourth day, you just are exhausted. And you think, well, I know I've walked a lot more than I, but a lot of why you're exhausted, you haven't drank enough water. Your body needs that water, and I'm terrible about it. So that's important. And then, of course, make sure that the water that you're drinking is good water. I mean, there's so many places all over the world, more and more, you cannot drink the water out of the tap. So bottled water or water that you know is drinkable, and, you know, carry it in either a portable water bottle or however you do it. Oh, you have one right now, Catherine, don't you? Okay, good. Ample sleep, that's real important. Sometimes it's a big challenge. Especially, you know, people who have difficulty with jet lag or they're just too excited and they just can't go to sleep. You know, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't tell you what to take. But you got to know that if you are light sleep or whatever, how are you going to work this? Because if you don't get any sleep, then after about the fourth day, you're going to go, ugh. You know, and then everything begins to break down. And once you start having that kind of stress and everything, the hassles go. I promise you, the times that I have had kind of accidents is when I'm tired. Yeah. So it's important to try to get your sleep and keep a routine. This is another thing as a solo traveler I talk about all the time, is one of the ways to kind of negate feeling like, oh, I'm all by myself, or you don't want any kind of creepy feelings. If you stay with your routine like you do at home, if you take your bath at night, you like to read before you go to bed, and all these little rituals that you do, don't neglect them when you travel. Yeah. Don't just go to bed, don't wash your face, brush your teeth, forget to take your meds or whatever. Just don't crash in that. Discipline yourself to like you did at home. It's a subtle thing, but it makes a lot of difference. Yeah. It just keeps you calibrated right. Try not to overeat. That's really hard sometimes because the food is so good. And try to eat healthy. That's really hard sometimes. I find eating to be a challenge when I travel because sometimes I'm not hungry when I'm supposed to eat, and then I get so famished, and then I really eat. I might have ordered something that I don't really like, or the
just
eating
unusual. Or,
yeah, it is. It's tough. It's tough, but it's important because that can weigh on your health. The bottom line for the health tip is just get travel insurance. So if you have something that happens, you can go to the doctor. You know, you don't have to have cash to pay everything right up front. You know how to use the policies. You know what types of clinics or hospital that are approved. And you can get the medical care that you want. And they have all kinds of levels of these travel insurance policies now. But don't leave home without them. You're taking too much of a risk because, you know, they might not admit you to the hospital. If you can't pay, and then you could have a stroke or something. I mean, so just don't do it, okay? All right. So getting sick when traveling is a real bummer. So, you know, just be prepared, and that will keep the hassle to a minimum, all right? Now, the next one, broad topic, is packing tips. And you think pack right is to pack light. I mean, pack right, pack light. More and more people are getting down to the carry-on and a tote, no check-in bags. And that's really smart to do. There are certain key things you need to do. You got to have to put your liquids. They have to be 3 ounces and, you know, a clear baggie and all of that. And if you don't have TSA pre-check or whatever, you're going to have to take them out of your bag. But if you can get it down to the carry-on and the tote, you are packed right, okay? Pack at least 1 week before you leave on a big trip, because you're going to need to try on what you're bringing. You're going to need to think about it. And don't leave it to the night before. If you leave it to the night before, you're going to overpack every time. You're going to pack things that you didn't need. You're just going to be frazzed out, okay? So don't do that. And like I said, try the clothes on before you pack, because let me tell you, there's nothing like a stain on something. Or these pair of jeans are a little tighter than they used to be. So, you know, do that. Then, of course, you got, you know, pretty much people who travel a lot, they think mix and match and layers and wrinkle-free. Dressing for travel is totally different than it used to be. It used to be a lot more chic and just nicer in certain ways. But now it's really for function and
comfort.
Yeah, and comfort, et cetera. But here again, you don't want to look like slovenly bad. Then multifunctional and comfortable shoes. Oh, my gosh. The shoes are so important. And you need to have a couple pairs of them. Ballet flats are really good for going out at night and a couple of things. But they are not good for all day walking. You need some good walking shoes. Wedges can be good to a certain extent, but too much walking in wedges,
yeah.
All right. But they can be good. You can wear them at night, during the day, for certain times of day, etc. And then lots of people love the flip-flops, which I do too. You know, I have so many flip-flops, I probably need therapy because I've had so many flip-flops. But the shoes, they're just like bottom line critical, because once your feet give out, you get blisters and your feet are real tired and everything. It definitely dampens your fun and your trip. Okay, then, you know, the dressing for cultural concerns, you have to be mindful. You know, in certain areas of the world, they have different norms, and you need to know that, and you need to dress with respect to where you are. Two other last little tips. First of all, I love the packing cubes. I was late to using them, but they're really good in terms of keeping your clothes. You can put more in your suitcase with that. And you also, for some reason, your clothes just do not wrinkle as much in these two cubes. I don't know why. And last, if you really want some insight or help with packing, go to my website, astridtravel.com, and click on my travel resources. I have a very good packing list. If you follow that, you're going to have what you need. So, I have my little dog right here. If you hear something that sounds funny, she kind of got up in my lap there for a while. Okay. And number 10, just some basic miscellaneous tips to kind of, you know, sum this up and help you keep your trip hassle-free and get in this hassle-free travel mindset is make sure, like I talked about earlier, you have a copy of important things, whether you make a photocopy of it. Some people copy it on their phone. Some people are worried about that if somebody steals their phone. But your passport, your credit cards, the back and front of it, all the visas that you need, your hotel information, important phone numbers, emergency numbers, location of the embassies or the consulates, the approved hospitals and clinics. I mean, people don't think about this, but if you're in China or somewhere and something happens, boy, you know, it can make all the difference of the world if you have this information handy to where you can solve your problem, okay? Also, enroll in STEP. Now, I've talked about STEP in several of my podcasts, but this is the Smart Travelers Enrollment Program that's open to U.S. citizens. It's great. This is where U.S. citizens log in to the State Department's website, and they have It's basically tracking you. They know where you are. They know where you're staying. They basically know your itinerary, et cetera, emergency numbers. And in the event something happens in where you are, you will get texts and news bulletins on what you should do. Avoid these areas because of flooding, or there is a very high terrorist threat that has just evolved and you need to leave the country within 24 hours. This is suggested routes or whatever. I mean, it is great. It's great. I mean, it is your one of your ways to give you an extra peace of mind in terms of safety and protection. And so I suggest that to everybody, because you never know. And if you have an accident or you're a victim of a crime, you can alert the State Department. They can help you with recommendations on how to deal with it. I mean, you can alert them right there with this app, et cetera. So it's really good. There's a lot more to it, and I won't go into it. I know one whole podcast on it, but I've spoken about this quite a bit because it's part of my safety regime or habits. Now, make sure your passport is valid 6 months after the date of your trip. I need a new passport. I need to do that within the next month. And then basically last is stopping your mail, newspapers, you know, pet lodging. That goes without saying if you have a pet. And, you know, you might need to have some bills paid, normal things that have to be done to get somebody to do them or arrange for them before you leave. So, Catherine, I know this has been a long list of tips, but I really do think that it will help you maintain a hassle-free approach if you do these tips, because if you leave really almost any one of them out, it can cascade into like a domino effect. It's amazing how that happens. But with that said, I have to share with you, the more that you travel, the more you will incorporate the hassle-free practices. I know I said that about myself earlier in the show, but that's really the truth. It just kind of becomes like, okay, I know that I've got to bring these adapters, blah, 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 and my power banks, and all your mind just starts, you know.
You dial it all in. It becomes the habit and the routine.
Yeah, you definitely dial it in. So, you know, this way, if you do that, then you'll be able to cut off most problems at the pass. And if you do have something that gets to be serious, you have the mindset to be able to work through it. So don't stay home. Go forth armored with a hassle-free mindset and continue to travel the world.
Okay, Astrid, so you've got us mentally, philosophically prepared, but we have a whole series that is planned out for our listeners. So tell us, what can we expect from the Hassle-Free Travel Series?
Okay, besides this podcast that really is a basic introduction to the topic on how to be happier when traveling by reducing the hassle factor, because this is the genesis of all of this for Catherine and I when we decided that we wanted to do some kind of a series on all these things that make travel so, is how to stay happy when you're traveling. I mean, I have found that being happy is one of the big topics that is on everybody's mind there. Now, whether it's in their daily life or at work or within their family or whatever, even if people are comfortable and they really don't have anything really to be unhappy about, and they just don't know why they're not happy. I mean, happiness is a big topic right now. And one of the reasons why people travel is when they travel, they seem to be happy, and it makes them happy, or they feel happy when they're traveling. But all these hassles that have become more and more prevalent have taken away that happiness. So that's why we have developed this series, because I wanted to delve into it. And I think that a lot of people, they're thinking about it and they're worried about it and they want to change it. So, you know, that's a little background to, you know, why we created this whole series. So, listeners, this is just the beginning because we have 7 podcasts mm-hmm. on this and maybe an 8th. I haven't decided a last one. I know I have a new last one Catherine doesn't know about. She knows about 6 of them, but I think there's one more that is in the oven baking in my mind. Okay. The next one is going to be about the air travel hassle, which, you know, we've titled this. We used to dress up to fly. Air travel hassle. I mean, air travel has become the most unpleasant aspect of travel. And here I share with you everything that I do or I can think of or been suggested to cope with or negate air travel misery. And it's really kind of become almost miserable. And that's pathetic. It's really pathetic. So that's the next podcast. Then we'll have one on when the title is When I Travel, I Get Sick, Staying Healthy While Traveling. I think this is going to be such a beneficial and informative podcast because I've said this before, most people don't prepare for health issues when traveling. So there's really a lot of good information that I'll share on this episode that I think will be eye-opening. I mean, you think that you kind of have it under control or whatever, but you didn't even think of some of these things. Okay, the next one is crowds wherever I go, avoiding the crush while traveling. Over-tourism was going to be discussed in this particular issue, and it is really a growing problem. And I'm going to share my strategies and basically how to avoid the new travel horde phenomenon, because it's getting really bad, especially in some of the like Machu Picchu and Venice, and it's ruining a lot of what was pleasurable before. Okay, then we're going to have one on what a letdown, managing expectations while traveling. Now, have you ever been somewhere and you just didn't have a good time? You know, before you left, you were so excited and eager, pumped up to go, and once you've been there a couple of days, you're going, oh, ugh. Well, this one I cannot wait to develop because this is one of my passions, is to find what there is to love about anywhere I go. I try to make every place that I go be alive and interesting. So there are lots of things that I do to discover and to enjoy myself that way. And not ever say, oh, God, I can't believe I did this, spent all this money. Ugh. So, and really a lot of it talks about the benefit of being culturally literate, which is a favorite topic of mine. But it transfers into your life in many ways. So I think that will be a good episode. The next one is Make Travel Great Again, All the Extra Trips. There are going to be some really golden nuggets of travel advice shared on this episode. So these are a lot of extra tips that you really don't think about. That just they're the cool things that you can do to make the whole experience a lot more pleasurable and to stay happy. Okay, the next one is I always bring the wrong stuff, packing and products that can help you with travels. Besides safety concerns, the most questions that I get and the biggest stress that people really have is with packing. Now, you would think that would kind of be part of the fun of it all. No, I'm telling you. And most people pack too much, pack the wrong stuff, hate what they have on. They don't have anything to wear when they get there. They end up buying stuff, and then the suitcase is overweight. It just goes downhill for that. There's a mindset, a psychology behind packing right as well as practical tips. So I'm going to go into that. And I actually have a whole podcast about packing. But this one is going to be more in terms of not only the tips, but, you know, packing to keep you positive and to affect your mood, too.
It's through the hassle filter.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Catherine, well, as they say, all good things must come to an end. But I love to talk, so I hope you love to hear what I have to say. But before we close, Catherine, I really would like you to share a little bit about our show's sponsor, the Astrid Travel Club.
Thank you, Astrid, for that nice setup. This podcast and the entire hassle-free travel series is sponsored by the Astrid Travel Club. This is a travel club for people who have the like-minded travelers.
This travel club was really created because out of people who wanted to take the types of trips that I was taking, solo in nature. Some of the people didn't want to go totally solo, but they liked the culturally rich, theme-focused itineraries that I was doing. They liked the fact that, you know, I either was doing it solo or with only a couple of people. So I don't want to go into the whole genesis of it. You can read about it on my website at astrotravel.com. But this is a club of like-minded travelers who enjoy culturally rich travel experiences, who like affordable luxury travel, who don't want to go with big tour groups. They like small groups, 4 to 6 people. You have no single supplement. You stay in 5-star hotels that are, I really am very picky about my hotels. I like them to be authentic and something that reflects really the character of where you are, not just a big chain or a really fine 5-star hotel. I want the hotel that we stay in on our trips to be part of the wonderful experience about the trips. There's a lot of information about the club on the website that, you know, if you're interested, go to the website and take a look. It's only $50 a year. And if you take at least one trip that we're doing, and we're going to have 7 in 2020, you get a $100 discount on one trip per year. So you basically get a little, as we say in Louisiana, you get a little lagniappe. So that's the Astrid Travel Club, and that's who is sponsoring this series of hassle-free travel. And in the club that I've created and that, you know, is being administered to a really cool woman who is running it basically for me, hassle is one of the things that we are definitely trying to remove at all costs in our trips.
Well, we thank the Astrid Travel Club for sponsoring this series, the Hassle-Free Travel Series. I will have a link to the Astrid Travel Club in our show notes so you can go right there and see if the travel club is right for you. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We love Spotify. Or just look on your favorite podcast app and you are sure to find Solo Travel Talk. We are looking forward to bringing you the Hassle-Free Travel Series because we want you out there traveling. Get rid of that hassle the Astrid way.
And with that, Catherine, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Find Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All things Astrid, including the Astrid Travel Club and this podcast, are available at astridtravel.com. Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk.